We'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. I would like to read from Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning in verse 26 and reading through the end of the chapter. Jeremiah chapter 32. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, the privilege to know that we're Your children, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, that though we were totally separated from Thee and we could not in any way reach out to Thee, we're thankful that in Your amazing grace that You reached out to us, You touched us, You lifted us up, and You blessed us to be able to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank You for Your amazing grace. We thank You for Your love and Your mercy that's been manifest and shed abroad in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to read and study Thy holy word. And we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would be our teacher. And we pray that as we've come together tonight, that Thou would help us, that we might hear the word of the Lord, and that we might rejoice in it. And Thou would help us, Lord, that we might remember it, that it might be as seed sown in fertile ground, and that Thy word would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We thank You, Lord, for the bountiful blessings of life. Thank You for our families and for the church family. We thank You for the privilege to live in this great nation that's been blessed abundantly by Thee. Thank You for all the freedoms and all the blessings that we have here. Thank You for all the natural blessings, but above all else, we thank You for the spiritual freedom that we have to be able to assemble together to worship Thee and to sing songs of praise without fear of physical persecution. We pray that You would help us now this night that we might feel that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We beg You again to bless all those who are sick and afflicted. We're thankful that many that have been sick and have been facing surgery have now come through their surgery, and we pray that You would bless them with a speedy recovery and bless them to soon be completely restored to their health. Bless others who are still facing surgery and treatment for cancer and other problems. We pray that You would be with them and their families. And we pray that You would help all of us to remember the brevity of life, that we're all going to be here for just a little while. We ask You to help us to serve Thee each day, to honor Thee and glorify Thee. Thou would help us to think about Your presence wherever we go and whatever we do. Help us to think about that God is in our midst. Be with all the families who are having trouble. We ask You to bless them and help them and bless the children. Especially, Lord, we pray that You would wrap Your arms of love round about them and draw them into a sacred nearness with Thee and bless them and uphold them. We pray in the precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read now from Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning in verse 26. Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning in verse 26. Let me give you just a little of the background here. Jeremiah had been preaching and telling the children of Israel and Judah, he had been telling them that because the children of Israel, because the children of God had turned their backs on God, that they were going into Babylonian captivity. The king of Judah was very angry at Jeremiah because Jeremiah said that they were going to be punished by God, and because he said that Jerusalem and Judah were going to be taken into Babylonian captivity. The king of Judah was angry with Jeremiah and had him put in prison because he stated such things about the children of Israel. Jeremiah, however, while he was in prison, continued to be faithful to God and had no fear of the king or of anyone else. He continued to stand and trust in the Lord with all of his heart. And the scripture that I'm going to begin reading now is talking about the judgment of God on the children of Israel and the way that God is going to bring them down because they had turned their backs on God. In Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning in verse 26, the Word of God says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Now, specifically, the thing that he's talking about right here is it going to be too hard for me to bring Israel down to their knees? Is that too hard for God to bring Israel down to their knees? Was it too hard for God to bring the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah down to their knees? Was it too hard for God to bring the whole world to its knees? When we read in Genesis chapter 6 that the world was wicked and then God sent a flood on the earth, can God bring any individual or any nation or the whole world to its knees? Now that's what he's saying. Is it too hard? Is there anything too hard for me? Can I bring my people to their knees? And so in verse 28 he says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord." Do God's people sometimes provoke Him to anger? And this is Old Testament, but does God's Word teach that in the New Testament? Do God's people still today sometimes provoke God to anger? They do. Verse 31 says, "For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even to this day, that I should remove it from before my face." Verse 32 says, "Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction." Does God always warn His people before He brings His judgment? That's what He's saying. He says, "I rose up early, I taught them, I instructed them." Now, who was the main individual that God had been teaching Israel through? Who was the main person that God had been warning Israel through? It was through the prophet Jeremiah. And he says, "Now I've risen up early and I've warned you and I've taught you, but you've turned your back to me and not your face." Verse 34 says, "But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." Correctly read, that's Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 26 through 35. The main thought that's on my heart tonight is when God asked this question in verse 27, He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And I know that everybody here would immediately say, no, there is nothing too hard for God. Do you think Israel knew the answer to the question that God was asking right here? When God asked the question, is there anything too hard for God? Did Israel know the answer to that question? I think that they did. I think that they knew that there was nothing too hard for God. They knew that God could bring them down to nothing, that God could and could possibly bring them to their knees. The problem is they did not think that God would do that to them. And I think that's a common problem that we all have in our lives today. I don't think there's anybody here that doubts the sovereignty of God. I don't think there's anybody here that doubts that God can bring this nation down to nothing. We know that God has the power to do that. But I doubt that most of us really believe that God is going to do such a thing as that. I doubt that Israel believed that God was going to do such a thing as that to them, because they felt and they knew that they were God's chosen people. They knew that they were His people and that God loved them and had blessed them beyond measure. So they did not think that God would do what they knew He could do. Is there anything too hard for God? Now, do you think that Jeremiah was somewhat disappointed when he ended up in jail because he had been preaching and teaching the truth? If you had been Jeremiah and you had been preaching to the children of Israel that God was going to bring Israel down to their knees, how would you feel if God allowed you to be put in prison when you were preaching to the people exactly what God put on His heart? How would you feel? Probably the same way that... I'm not going to say that. I started to say the same way that Stephen felt when God allowed the people to stone them. I don't think that most of us would feel like Jeremiah did and like Stephen did. Because Jeremiah and Stephen, when they suffered because of doing what was right, their confidence remained 100% in God. They had no fear. They were not mad with God. They were not upset with God. They knew that God was still in control. Did Stephen know that God could deliver him from those people who were stoning him to death? Did he know God could do that? And was Stephen mad at God because God did not deliver him from that suffering? Not at all. Was Jeremiah at all upset with God because God allowed Jeremiah to be put in prison because he confronted Israel? Was Jeremiah upset with God at all because of the circumstances and conditions he was in because he did what God told him to do? Jeremiah was not at all upset with God. I want you to notice carefully one expression that proves that. Look in your Bibles at Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at verses 16 and 17. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 16 and 17. This is Jeremiah speaking and praying while he was still in prison. In Jeremiah 32, verses 16 and 17, the Word of God says, "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord God, saying," I want you to listen to what he said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Now, do you hear what he declares? I think it's wonderful that Jeremiah, though he was in prison, he still declared while he was in prison, "There is nothing too hard for thee." But what did he base it on? Did he know? Did Jeremiah know that God could deliver him from that prison? What did he base it all on? He based it all on one thing. I want you to look at the verse carefully. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." He's saying, "God, I know that you created this world." What greater manifestation has there ever been in the power of God than for God to just speak this world into existence? And I believe that that's one reason the devil is attacking the truth of creation so much, is that the devil does not want God's children to believe that God actually spoke this world into existence. But God did that. And if you begin to study the Word of God, you'll find that the saints of God, in the greatest trouble in their lives, many times they reflected back to the creation of this world, and they said, "The same God who created the heavens and the earth, that same God is able to take care of me." And that's what Jeremiah is saying here. He's saying, "Ah, Lord God, the one that created the heaven and the earth, the one that spoke this world into existence. He says, there is nothing too hard for thee. Was it too hard for God to comfort Jeremiah while he was in prison? Not at all. I believe that God was with Jeremiah, helping Jeremiah to feel the peace of God even while he was in prison. I believe that as you go through the pages of history, that every time that you find a great saint of God that loved God, feared God, obeyed God, and served God, I believe that every time that trouble came in their lives, their confidence in God remained strong. They believed that there is nothing too hard for God. They believed and they knew that God could help them even in the midst of their trouble. And that's what David was talking about when he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Was Jeremiah afraid right here? Was he afraid of the king of Judah? Was he afraid that he might be put to death as a prophet of God who had declared the judgments of God were coming on Judah and Jerusalem? Was he afraid at all? Not afraid. Why? Because he knew there was nothing too hard for God. And that's a truth that we all need to think about every day. That there is nothing too hard for God. Now God comes on later and asks the question, is there anything too hard for God? And certainly the answer is no. But I want us to think really for a moment about how Jeremiah declares, ah, Lord God. Look at the wording in verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Now, I know that in its context, all of this is talking about the judgments on God's people to bring them to their knees. But the wonderful thing is that not only does God have the power to bring His judgments on His people, to bring His people to their knees and bring them to repentance, but God has the power to build them up and lift them up again. Isn't that wonderful? God can bring them down. And if you were to start reading in verse 36 and go through the rest of this chapter, God is going to talk about how not only am I going to bring them down, not only am I going to send them into Babylonian captivity, not only am I going to judge them severely and bring them to their knees because of their disobedience, he comes on down and he declares, I'm going to show mercy and I'm going to show grace. And after I have carried out my judgment, I have the power to, the same power that brought them down to nothing, I have the power to lift them up again. And that's the wonderful, as you go through the rest of this chapter, the wonderful thing God declares He's going to do. Does God have the power? Did God have the power to bring Israel down, put them in Babylonian captivity, leave them there, and them suffer under the bondage of being in Babylon? He did, and He did that. But then did God deliver them from Babylonian captivity and raise them up again? The amazing thing is, how many times, as you go through the Word of God, how many times God would deliver the children of Israel, bring them out from under bondage and suffering that He brought because of their disobedience, and then He would bless them, and they would rise up again and become a great nation again, and then they would, what would they do? They would turn their what toward God instead of their face? They would turn their back toward God instead of their face. And as they turned their back toward God, what did God do then? He would bring them back down to destruction, and then in His mercy and grace, He would lift them up. Have you ever experienced that cycle in your life where because of your disobedience you went down, you were brought low by God? See, God has the power to tear down. This is another expression in the Scriptures, is that God has the power to tear down and God has the power to build up. God has the ability, God's power is such that it can bring anyone to his knees, or He can raise and lift up anyone. That's true of individuals, families, churches, nations, and the whole world. You know what the Word of God says is going to happen one day? That one day every knee shall bow. And I think that has reference to every human being on the face of this earth. I believe there's going to come a time that every knee is going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's going to come a time in the final resurrection when every human being, both dead, alien, sinner, and those redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, there's going to come a time when everybody's going to bow down and confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what we need to do in our lives is to acknowledge that every day. That every one of us should bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That He is sovereign. That He's all-powerful. Is there anything too hard for God? So if you're proud and lifted up, can He bring you down? And if you've been brought low and you're going through difficult times, can He lift you up? Is there anything too hard for God? What does Jeremiah declare in Jeremiah 32:17? He says, "Ah, Lord God, the one who made the heaven and the earth, there's nothing too hard for Thee." And the more I think about and remember and realize the many times that God has manifested His power, that's one reason that we all need to know what the Word of God says. We need to be able to look back and reflect on and think about how God has manifested His power in doing two things. One, He has manifested His power in bringing down, but He has also manifested His power in lifting up. And we need to pray that God will help us to realize power of God to tear down and to build up. What would you say is the greatest thing God has ever done in all of this world? I know that you could say the creation of this world. That certainly, as far as the things that happened right there, that was certainly one of the greatest acts that God has ever done. One of the most wonderful things He's ever done is just to speak this world into existence. But to me, other than that, and maybe instead of that, the most wonderful and marvelous thing, in fact, I would definitely say more important, more marvelous than that, God manifested His power in saving us from our sins. Now, the creation of this world was a marvelous work of God. But did you know that there was no way for anyone to ever even come up with a way for man to be saved from his sins? And yet God is so great and so wise that God had, from before the foundation of the world, that God had established a plan, and it was an infallible plan. It wasn't a plan left up to chance. But God established a plan whereby He would save His people from their sins. And that's the reason He sent Jesus into the earth. And you think about the power of God in saving us from our sins. And brethren, that ought to make us fall on our knees and honor God and glorify God because of the great work of eternal salvation. That angel came to Joseph and said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Is there any name on this earth greater or as great as that name Jesus? There is no other name, nor the name in heaven. There is no other name under the heaven or in earth. There's no name that compares to the name Jesus. And that name Jesus, they said that Jesus, the angel said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I am so thankful, brethren, that I have been blessed to understand the power of God in saving us from our sins. I'm glad I know that he didn't. You know, the idea that God has tried to save us, but he can't unless you'll let him. The idea that God sent His Son into the earth and died and He shed His blood for everybody in the world, and a lot of that blood's going to be wasted because people aren't going to accept Jesus Christ. The frustration of God, I'll tell you, brethren, that's not the God of the Bible. Amen. That's not the God of the Bible. I'm glad that God, and don't you ever be proud that you know that truth. If you know and understand that Jesus accomplished what He came to do, if you know that Jesus did save His people from their sins, if you know that the power of God is such that no man can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" you need to fall on your knees and give glory to God that you understand the power of God in eternal salvation. Do you know the power of God in raising the dead bodies? Do you think much about raising bodies from the dead? You know, Job lived many years before Jesus Christ. And what did Job believe whenever he had all those afflictions in his body? Did he doubt the power of God? Well, he may have doubted to some degree, but what did he believe was going to happen? He says, "Though after these skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Now, brethren, that's believing in the power of God. Did you know it? To believe that somebody's body can be eaten up by worms and go back to the dust of the earth. To believe that somebody's body can be completely annihilated as far as mankind is able to determine, and yet God can come back and raise that body from the dust of the earth. You think that Job Did he believe that there's nothing too hard for God? Do you think Job could declare just like Jeremiah, "Ah, Lord God, who made heaven and earth, there's nothing too hard for thee"? And I believe he could, and I believe he did, just in that one statement that Job was declaring how great our God is and that there is nothing too hard for God. And all through the New Testament, we find time after time where people saw the power of God and the glory of God, and they saw that there was nothing too hard for God. They saw people raised from the dead. Does Jesus still have that power today? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They saw people that were blind that were given the ability to see. Does he still have that power today? Does he still perform miracles today, just like he performed miracles in the days that he was here on this earth? Jesus still performs miracles. Does Jesus not only have the power to perform miracles in these physical bodies, but does he have the power to even change people's hearts and their minds? The very hearts of kings are in the hand of God. Did you know that no person, no matter how vile and wretched that individual is it too hard for God to turn that person around? Not at all. All God has to do is just speak the word. That person will fall to his knees and beg God to have mercy on him. Saul of Tarsus was a man that was killing Christians. Was it too hard for God to stop him? Was it too hard for God to bring him to his knees? Was it too hard for him to turn him around and instead of him being an enemy of Jesus Christ, become the greatest defender of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's ever walked the face of this earth? That wasn't too hard for God. Did God bring him down? Did God have the power to bring Saul of Tarsus down? And did God have the power to raise up Paul the Apostle? He had the power to do that, and he did that. Is there anything in our lives today? We face troubles and problems, don't we? And no matter what your troubles and problems are, and everybody here has different kinds of troubles and problems. Some of you have physical problems. Some of you have family problems. Some of you have financial problems. Some of you have other kinds of problems. But no matter what your problems are, is there anything, God asked this question, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything that God cannot do? What do we need to reply? We need to reply just like Jeremiah did. Ah, Lord God, the one who made heaven and earth. Ah, Lord God, who saved me from my sins. Ah, Lord God, who's going to raise me from the dead. Ah, Lord God, you can take care of all these little problems that I have in my life. Because that's what all of our day-to-day problems are compared to these other great things that we've been talking about. The little problems we have in our lives, they're minute. It doesn't take the thing, you know, the creation of the heavens and the earth is just called the finger work of God and the handiwork of God. Just a finger. That's saying it's not hard for God to create this world. And it's not hard for God to help you through your troubles and your problems in your life. You remember the Apostle Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh, and he begged God to remove that thorn. Now, could God have removed that thorn in the flesh? Could he? Did he have the power to remove that thorn in the flesh? He did have that power. Do you think Paul had enough faith? If faith would have removed that thorn, do you think Paul had enough faith at that thorn would have been removed? I think Paul had all the faith in the world. It wasn't a lack of faith on Paul's part. But God had a purpose for that thorn to be in Paul's life. And God told him, he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And that's true in all of our lives, no matter what the problems are that we're facing. God's grace is sufficient for us. You know why? Because it's his power. That's what God's grace is. It's his power. And is God all-powerful? Does he have the power to help us in our troubles? Does he have the obligation to remove us from all of our troubles? No. Does he have the responsibility to remove all of our troubles from our lives? No. But does he, if we are trying to serve him, has he promised that he will be with us in our troubles and that he will carry us through? Though we pass through the waters, they will not overflow us. Did God have the power to part those waters for the children of Israel? Did he have the power to part those waters? Do you think if God had asked Moses, do you think I've got the power to part those waters? You know, if I'd been Moses, I'd have probably said, well, I believe you've got the power, but I don't think there's any way you'll do something like that. But God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel marched through on dry ground. Now that's the power of God. So God has the power to part the sea. And when you pass through the waters, he says, I promise you, they will not overflow you. And he says, when you pass through the fire, it will not kindle upon you. And you'll come out of that fire like gold tried in the fire. And you'll come out better than before. Don't you ever, ever doubt the power of God. And don't you ever doubt the love that God has for you. Listen, I love you. But God loves you so many times more than what we love each other, we can't even comprehend the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. The power of God is greater than we can ever tell, but the love of God is greater. So no matter what your troubles and problems are, remember that God, Jesus, says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Therefore, you know what I can say? If Jesus tells me my grace is sufficient for you, I can say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can you go through your burdens and problems in life? What about Jeremiah? Could he go through what he went through? He went through it all the way. God was with him. God never let Jeremiah down. Did Jeremiah believe in the sovereignty of God? Ah, Lord God, you made the heavens and the earth. There's nothing too hard for thee. May God help us to know and repeat and believe and think about that there is nothing too hard for God, is my prayer for Christ's sake.